You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bah! Guest growl, Momo. Ah! All
right.
Oh,
all
I
right.
need to growl. I just destroyed my toe. Oh.
How'd you do that?
Oh, I just walked into a door. It's bleeding everywhere.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, I'm going to play hurt, though. It's all right. It's just a toe.
I like it. I like it. And a lot to get to. By the way, what Chris Morales described, Mason ruining the Succession finale, is so vintage Mason. If you ever want to know if somebody's a narcissist,
yes.
that
so Mason.
That is the dead giveaway. I don't care about anyone but me. I'll put it out there, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Can you explain it to me, though? I just real fast.
No, don't talk about it.
No, not about that. I'm talking about Mason. Can you explain to me why Mason would even possibly think to do this? Because he's in Costa Rica on vacation.
Right.
Plus, he's putting it on his Instagram. He's not going to respond to anybody if they're trying to have conversation with him. So what is the reason for spoiling it?
Greg, I could best explain it to you with a joke that somebody told me about Mason very early in our relationship. How does Steve Mason screw in a light bulb?
I don't know how.
He just stands there and holds it and lets the world revolve around him.
It's very true.
As Mason would say if he were here, the best thing about Mason is he openly admits all of this. Mason loves me some me. So trust me when I say he didn't even think for a second about anyone else. He just, I saw it, so everyone else must have seen it. And by the way, I downloaded it for the plane tomorrow, so that's all we're doing on that. We have so much to get to, Momo, and we only have 2 hours.
I know.
Because we're walking you up to Rams-Cardinals, which I think is the biggest game of Matt Stafford's Rams career and arguably the biggest regular season game of Sean McVay's career. And we just got terrible news if you're a Rams fan.
Oh, no. What?
Jalen Ramsey and Tyler Higbee just hit the COVID list.
No.
Both out. And I would argue Ramsey was the most important player on the field. Now, Ramsey and Higbee join Daryl Henderson and Rob Haverstein, who are already on it. And Ramona, this is becoming the most undercovered story in sports, is that I went to the doctor. I lost my voice last week. I got tested for COVID right away. I still haven't gotten it all back yet, but I got tested for COVID right away. And my doctor told me that he had seen 30 patients over the span of the past week, 27 of them tested positive for COVID.
Whoa.
And they were all vaccinated. Yeah. So there is a strain of COVID-19 that is not being covered by the original vaccines. Now, the booster supposedly helps. I don't know if people like Higbee and Ramsey and Haverstein and Henderson had the booster. Ramon, I'm sure you saw this. The Chicago Bulls have just postponed their next two games. They have 10 players and two broadcasters that have now gone on the health and safety protocol list. The Calgary Flames have canceled their next three games in hockey because they have a COVID outbreak. And Ramona, this didn't even happen last year.
No.
I mean, in the height of COVID. And so I think what we're dealing with now is, how are sports leagues going to handle this moving forward? Keep in mind that these Bulls cancellations are the first cancellations of any kind this season in the NBA. And I shouldn't use the word cancellation. I should say postponement. There's a chance they'll still make them up. But now, all of a sudden, the Ram-Cardinal game, which we're going to talk a lot about and get you ready for, is incredibly affected by this.
Yeah.
If you were going to make a list of the Rams' top 10 players, all those guys would be on it. Ramsey, Higbee, Haverstein, Henderson. I mean, maybe the only two people more important than Ramsey are Matt Stafford and Aaron Donald, and that's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good Ramsey is. And this game, think about it. This is a division for L.A.
Yeah,
all the moves we've been reporting about, they were 7-1 when they pushed all their chips to the middle and went and got Odell Beckham and went out and got Von Miller. They made those two moves. They're 1-3 since then. And if they lose tonight, they will not play a home playoff game in the postseason. And their whole plan when they were 7-1, Momo, was win the division and we never have to leave L.A. because the Super Bowl is at SoFi.
Right.
But now the Cardinals have that chance tonight. And we just took out the best defensive player on the Rams and one of Matt Stafford's best weapons. I'm not sure the Rams can sustain these losses. Four starters, including Jalen Ramsey. I was picking the Rams
Darryl
before.
Daryl Henderson was the first one, right?
Right. Daryl's out. Now, at least they have Sony Michel. But there's no replacement for Jalen Ramsey.
No.
Zero.
He plays. Every time I watch a game, he makes some play that makes you go, whoa. Like, I mean, he's that guy. Look, I think what's going on in sports, and you asked the question a little bit ago of how our sports league's going to handle this. You know, it's something that we talk about every day, all of us who are involved in sports. I think it's a little different now, John. Like, yes, if you test positive, they put you in the health and safety protocols. You have to have two negative tests, right, or 10 days. But there's a different sense of this now that the vaccination is so widely available, which is if you get it and you're vaccinated, it's probably going to suck for a couple of days. But generally speaking, the vaccines have helped prevent really serious illness, right? Generally speaking, especially amongst young, healthy athletes.
Right. So but Ramona, that doesn't solve the Rams problem.
No, not right now. But what's going to happen is we're going to see this, you know, the new strain, the Omicron that we've all been hearing about. We're going to see that go, you know, throughout our country now. I mean, it's just a matter of time. So whether it's now or 2 weeks from now or 4 weeks from now, it's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot more of these sort of, you know, cancellations and disruptions and postponements and all that. And there's a sense that if you're vaccinated, you're probably going to be okay, you know, most likely. And I think last year it was sort of like leagues were trying to keep players from getting it altogether. Now I think they're trying to keep them from getting it, but they have a realism that it's probably going to happen no matter what, right? Because you're in close contact. I mean, basketball, it's an indoor sport. Like, you know, the best you can hope is that people who are vaccinated don't get severe disease. And I think there's going to be a sort of put your head down mentality, you know, and just soldier on and play through it. Like you saw the Bulls, like the last week or so, everybody was wondering like, hey, clearly there's an outbreak going on in that Chicago locker room. Like our guy who covers the Bulls, Jamal Collier, you know, posted that he came down with it. I mean, everyone kind of in and around that team, you know, if I were covering them, John, I honestly, I wouldn't go. I would just cover it on Zoom right now. Because it's all around. And I, you know, like I didn't go last night. I thought about it, but I'm in a spot where I have a young kid at home and I'm just like, you know what? I learned how to work from home. Gonna stay home.
And now you're gonna see some political arguments like why not let all these guys play? If what you say is true and they're not going to get seriously ill and they're asymptomatic.
It's not gonna win,
Right. And they're asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Why not let him play? But that, again, doesn't solve the problem tonight. Ramsey's out. Higbee's out. Havenstein's out. And by the way, Deonte Dayton, who is the guy who would have replaced Ramsey, is on the COVID list. That's how bad this has become for the Rams. And now they've got a game in 2.5 hours that means everything. And I think they're going to lose because they have too many handicaps now.
Yeah, too many key guys out. But I will say this, you know, you and I have been covering sports for a long time. And a lot of times when stuff like this happens, there's actually a freedom that comes with it for the rest of the guys that play. Like, okay, well, what else could go wrong tonight? You know, and they just kind of let loose. Like a lot of the pressure that's on coming into a game like this is in a way lifted because nobody thinks you're going to win now.
Right. Now, but they went the issue with the Rams is they're all in this year. They're all in, and it comes down to tonight.
Yeah.
And when the Rams take the field, they're not going to have four or five key guys for a game against the team that's been the best team in the NFL this year. I am so excited for this game, but now...
You sound excited. You sound awesome.
Yeah, my voice is still half shot. I probably shouldn't be doing the show, but I've missed so many shows, I just said screw it. The reason...
We're both playing hurt.
Yeah, the reason that that I think the Rams are going to be at a huge disadvantage is Kyler Murray is very, very hard to account for. But Ramsey lines up all over the field. So one, the first thing Kyler Murray does when he gets to the line is he looks and he knows where Aaron Donald is. And he's going to say, okay, where's Ramsey? Is he dropping into coverage? Is he? And now he won't even be in the building. If you're just joining us, Jalen Ramsey, Tyler Higbee on the COVID-19 list, out for Monday Night Football tonight in Arizona. We'll have the game for you. Travis is going to be with the pregame show at 3 o'clock, so Ramona and I only have 2 hours. But Bergman, do you think they can win this game without those four or five guys?
I wasn't very sure they were going to be able to win this game, period.
Anyway?
Anyway, so the fact that those guys are out, Jalen Ramsey, that's a gigantic, gigantic loss. And you got some offensive line, and you got some – it's they are in a lot of trouble. So, I mean, what I'm saying
think about
though,
this.
People saying
Havenstein is your right tackle that you were going to run behind Sony Michel anyway and protect Stafford, and now he's out.
Right.
So, I mean,
do you think that this is now like a season-defining type moment where it wasn't? Maybe it was before, but now it's not.
I thought it was before this.
Yeah, but no. But see, so now that all these guys are out, do you still think it is?
Well, they have an excuse.
Well, there's always an excuse if
right.
you need one.
If they lose, well, like I always say, if we're being honest here, I always say that when LeBron doesn't play, I throw the loss out. If the Lakers lose, because LeBron is set. By the way, LeBron just got named NBA Western Conference Player of the Week. That happened about 10 minutes ago. He's been unbelievable. We'll get into the Lakers in a second. But without those guys, everybody will just say, well, they didn't have Ramsey. They didn't have their starting right tackle. They didn't have Henderson. What do you expect? The problem is that's not how sports work. Nobody is saying, like, I still think the Lakers would have beat the Suns in the first round of the playoffs last year had Anthony Davis gotten hurt, but he did get hurt. And now COVID is a way of life in sports. And now it's just hit the Rams. The strangest thing, Ramona, is even when the Rams last year played all those games with no fans, they had almost no COVID.
Right.
They were doing all their meetings outside. They were doing practice. This hasn't been something the Rams have had to deal with. But it is now, and it's just landed on their doorstep tonight. No Jalen Ramsey, no Rob Havenstein. I mean, it just seems to me that they're, like, other than Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald, you're just plucking guys off the top 10 of the roster. These are just brutal losses. And if the Rams find a way to win this game without those guys, it'll be Sean McVay's best win as a coach, period.
Well, they won the Super Bowl, so yeah, I agree with you. would have been the best.
But, I mean, and he won that game in New Orleans, the NFC Championship game, but that's tainted because, you know, of the controversial non-pass interference call. If he wins this tonight, look out. I mean, that would be one of – and what's interesting is, you know, McVay and Cliff Kingsbury are two of the youngest coaches in the league, all right? But, you know, they're this blend of all these guys that played quarterback in college. You know, Kingsbury was quarterback at Texas Tech, McVay at Miami of Ohio, Zach Taylor, Brandon Staley, all these guys that played quarterback that see the field differently. Mm-hmm. And now, all of a sudden, McVay could see everything, but if he's behind 21-0 because Jalen Ramsey's not out there, it's just a hole I don't know if they can dig out of. Now, boy, I'm going to watch this game. I was going to watch this game before. Now I'm going to watch this game with if they pull this off, if the Rams pull this off, win of the year. Win of the year for the Rams. All right, let me tell you about some other stuff. We've got Game of Games today. It's my game. We've got Lie of the Day. I'm going to tell a lie at some point, and if you get it, you get a Win for Jorge t-shirt. Ramona's in for
Vote
Mace.
For Jorge, sir. Vote for Jorge.
What did I say?
Win for Jorge.
Well, he's going to win. So,
yes,
but
I am.
Vote
Thank
for
you.
Jorge. And we've only got 2 hours to do it. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening with the Rams. Oh, Bergman, explain what's going on with 12 Days of Christmas.
So we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to something. It could be Lakers tickets. It could be the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. It could be Fantasy Springs. It could be Harris. And that's all going to happen at some point today. You'd have to listen to the cue to call during the show. It'll happen in a commercial break. I don't know when. It just kind of pops up. And when
all right,
you do,
so that's
you call
happening.
Number seven.
That's happening. So all this going on, and it's all happening before 3 o'clock. You picked a great day to listen, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, today it is Momo and Ireland, and we're jumping right in because we only have 2 hours. Leading up to 3 o'clock, Rams pregame in Arizona. We just had the breaking news. Jalen Ramsey out. Tyler Higbee out. Both on the COVID-19 list. They joined Rob Havenstein, who was already there, Daryl Henderson that was already there, Deontay Dayton, who was already there, and the Rams have an uphill battle tonight in a game that if they want to win the division, they have to win. They can still make the playoffs without it, but if they're going to win the division and get some playoff home games, they've got to win tonight, and to do it without those guys is going to be extremely difficult. Okay, Momo, let's talk about, while we have a chance, the Lakers. I mentioned that LeBron was just named Western Conference Player of the Week. It would be difficult for me to overstate how great LeBron has been since coming back from his, you know, that fake, I don't want to say fake, but that, what's the proper way to phrase it? The false positive COVID test in Sacramento. Averaging 30 points a game, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. And, you know, Frank Vogel likes to say no one in the NBA impacts a game like LeBron. He has been, and I know the opponents have been lousy. I know that Friday night was Oklahoma City. I know they laid an egg Thursday in Memphis. Last night, an absolutely terrible Orlando team. But having said all that, for him to do this at age 30, he'll be, 37 in 2 weeks, is unprecedented. The only other guy who's gone 25-5-5 over a 10-game period ever in NBA history is Michael Jordan.
Whew.
And LeBron now is after last night, broke Kobe's record as the oldest player ever to have a 30-point triple-double. And so for anybody saying LeBron is over, LeBron, you know, he's missed 12 games, he's done, blah, blah, they're not watching the games. They're just not.
I mean, last night, early on, I can't remember which play that made him do this, but do you remember when he went for the flex, like he did the I'm flexing
my
muscles?
It was one of his three blocks. He had three spectacular blocks.
Chase down blocks, like from the finals in 2016 blocks, right? And he did the flex and he gave a snarl and I was like, oh, he's on one tonight. Like he's going. And then after the game, I don't know. I don't know if I was just jealous with his comments about how much sleep he got.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that. So here's what he said.
Oh.
He said that he slept on Saturday night from midnight to 8 a.m. Then he got up, ate breakfast, and went back to sleep from 8:30 to 12:30. Ramona, that would be more sleep than I've received in the entire month of December. You know me.
Sounds amazing.
I don't sleep. Yeah.
I know.
But it does, you know, there are people that say, and by the way, let me stand up for the people in the world that don't sleep. It's not a choice. It's not a choice we make not to sleep. We just don't sleep a lot. Every time I buy one of these books that's supposedly going to help me to sleep, it spends 5 chapters telling me how important sleep is. Shut up.
I know
it's important.
You know.
That's why I bought the book. Tell me how to get more. And LeBron has figured out a way to do it. And so do you buy that it's directly relatable to how much sleep you get? Performance?
I think so. I mean, so I haven't been sleeping all that great lately. I've been kind of, you know, I think it's some of it, honestly, John, is me adjusting to taking Daniel to preschool every day.
Right.
So you know me, I'm kind of a night owl. I stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, you know. Those are my preferred hours. Like, I love being up late. And I would love to sleep in until 9 or 10 every day if I could. Like, those would be, if I had no other responsibilities in life, that's what I would do. But, you know, I do, right? Like, you do too, right? Especially when you have a kid and he needs to go to school in the morning. And so I get up and I take him now, and it's just kind of like, I try to go to sleep earlier, but like, now I know I have to get up. It's like I'm back in school when I know I have to get up. And I never sleep as well when I have like a earlier wake up call that I can't, that you can't miss. Like when you have a flight in the morning, you know, right. I deliberately don't like scheduling flights for early morning because I don't sleep well the night before, because I'm worried I'm going to sleep through my alarm or something. Right. Anyway, like I'm not sleeping well. Then finally over the weekend, I went and I took like a 2.5 hour nap, and I woke up and I was
very
like,
jealous.
Unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe, because Daniel took a long nap. I just took a nap when he took a nap. And I was like, I woke up, and at first I was a little more sleepy, but then as soon as I kind of got with it, oh my God, I felt like I could run a marathon.
Right.
Like, that was more sleep than I'd had in ages. And,
and so LeBron is attributing his performance to that.
Oh, yeah,
but 100%. Let me ask you this. Yeah. He's very quietly having his best statistical season as a Laker. So why do you think so many people are saying he's been disappointing? Is that just because he's missed 12 games?
Probably. And I think it's just because the Lakers are a very frustrating watch. Like, whenever you tune in, there's a few games. Like, last night was a good game, I thought. I thought the Boston game was the best game they had played in terms of just how they looked on the court.
Right.
But there's so many...
The game at Sacramento last week when they blew them out in the third quarter was really
good. Yeah, that was good. They've had a few, but there's many more frustrating games where there's just a bunch of turnovers and they're sort of unorganized offensively or defensively. And it's just, they're a hard watch these days. I don't know. You have to do it for a living, right? So,
yeah, but I actually disagree with you. I think that even though their record is 15-13, well, I'll just put it to both you guys, Bergman, you too, is 7-game series and you got to bet your life on it. Okay. Golden State Lakers. Okay. I think the Warriors might win. They look really good. Phoenix Lakers. Phoenix looks farther developed. Any other team in the West?
Yep.
Any other team? I'm taking the Lakers. How about you?
Same. John, I might even take him against the Warriors and the Suns because they have LeBron. I've just seen that guy do too many things over his career. Like, I just, after what I saw him do in Cleveland, his last year in Cleveland, getting that team to the finals, and I know they got swept. But that team had no business being in the finals. I mean, that team was not good.
And he does it all the time.
Yeah, and he beats teams that are way better. Like, those Cavs teams, like, that last year, look at that team. It was not good. I don't know how they made it, but he just was unbelievable. So, like, I've just seen him put his head down and get there sometimes. And so, like, if he's healthy, I'll always – I never bet against that guy anymore. Ever.
I say that right now I would favor the Warriors or the Suns.
Yep.
And I can't overstate this enough about the Lakers. This Laker team is built for 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
The team you're looking at now, this 15-13 team, is not going to be the team in April and March.
Right.
It just isn't. It may have different players, and they may do nothing, but these guys will be better. Talen Horton-Tucker looks like he's finding a groove. Hopefully Anthony Davis will be healthy. Westbrook has been a lot better.
Yeah. He's quietly been a lot better. Like, you know, we all need to be a little fairer with Russ, because when he's bad, he gets, you know, very publicly bad, right? Everybody kind of piles on. But when he's been better, like, I thought the way he's played the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 games, but that's the way he needs to play. Like, really, ever since LeBron got back, like, that's the way he needs to be out there. Like, off the ball.
Also, I want to bring something up about Russ coming up next, because I want to tie it to what's happening at UCLA with the football program, which is just ridiculous. But we'll get into that next. We'll also spin the wheel of questions. We're jamming a lot into just 2 hours today. Momo in for Mace, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. We just got word we're actually going till 3:15 today. The Ram pregame show is going to start at 3:15. So
you know what
we've got
means,
a little
John?
More show than we thought.
You know what it means? It means we can get that sweating story in that I want to do.
Oh, we're on. Yeah, that's coming up. All right.
And that we got to do that story.
Yeah, that is such a weird story. All right. First, let's spin the Wheel of Questions. We do this every show. Wheel of Questions is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Go ahead and spin the wheel, Jorge. Okay, this is something everyone can answer. Ramona, what is a skill that everyone should have but is not taught in high school?
Oh. A skill everyone should have that is not taught in high school. That's a great question.
I can think of two.
Okay. You want to go first? You
sure.
Want me to go?
Sure.
Okay, you go first.
Here are the two that came to mind. My favorite job I ever had, because I always had money in my pocket, I always had cash, was in college. I was a bartender.
Okay.
That's a skill you'll never learn in high school. Is how to make drinks.
Drinks.
And think about how many times in your life you will use that skill.
Depends on how you look at it, because parties, I definitely learned how to be a bartender from high school.
Right, but it wasn't taught to you in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't in the actual school?
Yeah, the question is, what's a skill everyone should have, but it's not taught to you in high school? The other one is, I don't think they teach you in high school conversation skills. In other words, how to work a room. Like if you walk into or like Bergman, if you're sitting next to me on a plane and you realize that you want to, for whatever reason, you recognize me and you want to strike up a conversation, how do you go about doing it?
Are you John Ireland of the Lakers?
No. I am not, but he's a great guy. Thank you for thinking I was. That's not me. I'm going back to reading my book.
Yeah.
That's the end of that, huh?
Right. But that's a skill. Conversation skills are something to. And Ramona, you got to use that a lot in your job.
Like, oh yeah.
If you're doing a feature on somebody,
I'm a professional conversation starter. I mean, literally.
Right.
Do you know how I used to describe my job to people? It's like going on a bunch of bad first dates.
Right. Because
right? Like,
you're trying to get blood from a stone on a lot of cases.
Yeah, like people who don't really want to talk to you have to talk to you, and you have to make them want to talk to you or at least say something interesting. And you don't really know much about them and they don't know anything about you, but you gotta make the conversation pleasant.
I would always say to somebody, and sometimes they wouldn't take the bait, but whenever I was interviewing somebody for years when I was a TV reporter, I would say, hey, let me ask you a weird question. What's your favorite thing to do when you're not doing this? When you're not when you're not playing football? When you're not doing, and sometimes they go, all I do is play football. Football is my life. And then you just go with it. But a lot of times they'll say, I love to cook. Well, good. What do you cook? What are you good at? You know, blah, blah, blah. And if you get them on a subject other than what you came there to interview them for, they'll eventually open up. And so Jorge, what's a skill not taught in school that everyone should learn?
I'm with you with a conversation. I was a waiter and I had to learn how to break the ice every time I went to a different table, because you're talking to strangers here.
Right. So you're firing for tips.
Exactly.
I mean, you're trying to get tips.
So I would start off by complimenting their shoes. Oh, that's a nice watch. How you doing? My name is such and such. I'll be your waiter today. You know what? Can I get you to drink? And that's how I would start. And then it would just woof.
Yeah.
Bergman, how about you?
So I think it's, and obviously Steve Mason has this problem, but how to get out of your own head and not care what people think about you. because that's something big, especially in high school and middle school, all that.
Sure,
where you
is.
Think about what people are thinking about you. So that took a long time to get rid of for me. It wasn't, and it definitely wasn't in school.
I heard a great line the other day on Twitter. I wish I would remember who sent it. That kind of deals with what you're talking about. And the line was, never accept criticism from anyone you wouldn't ask for advice.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I mean,
if you think about that, it's true. Why do I care what, you know, Joe Blow thinks?
Yeah.
Right, Ramona, what popped into your head?
Okay, so I just think financial literacy. I really do. Like, there's
really
so many... Yeah, like I feel like I knew a little bit about how to manage a budget or credit cards or what's the, but like, you know, so much of making it in this world is like, you know, learning, how do you go buy a house? What's important? How do you build your credit score up? How do you like save enough money to do that? You know, like just when I got out of college, and it was like when I first started having to pay my bills myself, you know. When I was in college, I don't think I had many bills, just, you know, pay your tuition and stuff, right? Just, this is before cell phones or anything like that. And I, you know, I was definitely like overdrawing my bank account all the time. I had automatic payments or I'd forget to pay stuff. Like, I was just, I don't know, somewhat of a disaster. And then I think a lot of kids, like, when you don't get that education, if you don't understand how the world works, like in terms of investing early or why is it important to do this or that, and, I don't know. People get behind, and then they wake up and they're 30.
How about the very first time
you can't buy a house? You know?
Yeah, the very first time you got to pay income taxes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It just hits you completely out of the blue. Yeah, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
All right, let me squeeze this in there. Jorge knows who this is, so he can't play.
Okay.
But so Greg and Ramona, this is for you.
Okay.
I'm going to play, and if you know who this is, if you already saw this, leave it for the other person. But did you guys see who did the intros at the Kings game the other night?
No.
Okay. I'm going to play.
Kings as in hockey?
The hockey team at Staples Center, or the Los Angeles Kings, the hockey team. All right, I'm going to play it. I'll let it go for a few seconds, and I want you to see if you guys can tell me who this is. Hit it, Jorge.
Defense number 44, Mikey Anderson. Defense number 8, Drew Doughty. Left wing, Alex Iofolu to the liquor store. Center, number 24, Philip Deneau.
Okay. Momo, any idea who that is?
No, the only guess I have is something connected to wrestling because they had the event there this week.
No, he's not a wrestler. Greg, any idea?
I got no clue. Can we get a hint of some kind?
Play it again, Jorge.
I'll play the rest.
Yeah.
Philip Deneau. Right wing, 33, Victor. Number 32.
Jonathan
Quick.
Who is it, Bergman?
Snoop Dogg.
It is Snoop Dogg.
Oh!
And, you know, I've said this before. Every time I see Snoop do color on a fight, or sometimes he'll slip in and do like a sideline hit at a basketball game, there's nothing this dude can't do. I'm telling you, if I ran a network... If I ran Spectrum, if I ran TNT, I would use Snoop all the time. I understand it's risky because he's, you know, he's tied to rap and he might say anything and, you know, he's got to, you know, but he is so versatile and so good at anything you give. Have you ever seen Snoop fail at anything?
No. I will say this though, John. I don't think it's a question of people wanting Snoop to do their shows. Like, I'm sure he has lots of offers. I just think he doesn't need to spend time working all that much unless he wants to. Like, I think he just does stuff for fun.
Well, what I'm saying is I think he could be Charles Barkley. I think I think he could do that type
of
stuff.
Yeah, but Charles has to, like, you know, that show that sometimes I look up on a Thursday night and I go, or Tuesday night now, dude, it's like 2 a.m. where they are. They're in Atlanta.
Well,
they're watching games all night.
He keeps saying that this is the end. He's not going to do it.
It's a hard job, you know?
Yeah, but it's crazy. All right. Hey, Bergman, we were going to do jump ball here, but since we're going longer, since we're going to 3:15, let's do jump ball at 2 o'clock, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. So coming up next, the story that Ramona mentioned. What would you do if every single time you worked out, you lost 7 pounds?
Oh.
Every single time.
Sign me up.
I don't know if it's healthy, though. We'll explain what we're talking about coming up next. All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. We're going till 3:15, leading up to Rams pregame. If you're just joining us, Rams got some bad news right before we started the show. Jalen Ramsey and Tyler Higbee. Ramsey, the second best player on the defense, along with Aaron Donald, and Higbee, one of Matthew Stafford's favorite targets, both on the COVID-19 list, both out for the game tonight in Arizona. Rob Haverstein has already been declared out. Same thing with Daryl Henderson. Same thing with Deontay Dayton. So they've got a mini crisis with COVID going on with the Rams, and it's a really important game. It'll be interesting to see if the Rams can pull it out. All right, here's the story Ramona was talking about before. The best college player in the country is a freshman at Duke. His name is Paolo Banchero. He's projected to be the number one pick in the draft next year.
Him or Chet Holmgren.
Holmgren's a kid at Gonzaga. Last week, Holly Rowe was working sidelines for a game on ESPN. And she did a report that Banchero is an extremely heavy sweater. So much so, he has to take a sweat test, and he has to drink a special oxygenated, so water with oxygen in it, fluid, so he won't cramp up during games. It's unclear how rare or how dangerous this condition is because not very many people have it. If you just Google oxygenated fluid, it doesn't return anything. And now, because of this report Holly did, everybody's going to know this guy as the sweater. It's reported, Holly reported, that he loses, Ramona, 7 pounds during a game. Woo! Now, that's not all that unusual. But when boxing fighters cut weight, mm-hmm. they make themselves sweat to cut water weight. At 250 pounds, which is what he weighs, he sweats out about a quarter of a percent of his body weight during a game. If you do some research here, there's a story online about a trainer in the NFL says a running back might lose 3 to 4 pounds during a game. But the thing I thought about is, what about cramping? Wouldn't you automatically cramp if you lost that much weight during a game?
I mean, there's all sorts of issues with this, right? Like, LeBron used to have cramping issues earlier in his career. Do you remember that when he was in San Antonio in the finals that one year?
Right.
He obviously got ahead of it somehow, so they've got to have some kind of formula. But this is like, I mean, one part of me was like, you know, sign me up. If I could lose 7 pounds just going to work out for a little while, like, okay, let's go, right? But two, I mean, this is the thing. Like, you know, when you play basketball, you sweat. Like, people, you know, that's just kind of a nature of the game. But like heavy sweating, that's almost like, I don't know if I want to play against you, man. If you just, how many jerseys is he going through?
Well, now every time I watch this guy play, I'm going to be like, oh, how much is he sweating?
I wonder if he changed jerseys halfway through the quarter.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I've never heard of anything like it. Have you?
No. I mean, like, I know there's guys who have reputation as sweaters, but I've never heard of that level.
Yeah. Where he has losing 7 pounds during a game. It's crazy.
I mean, it's going to be like affecting his draft stock. I mean, that's something like any team that drafts him is going to want to know.
So let's get back to our top story, which is Rams Cardinals tonight in Arizona.
Yep.
Now, the Cardinals beat the Rams up earlier this year at SoFi. So this is a Rams chance to get them back. And they're going to have to do it shorthanded. I mentioned Jalen Ramsey out, Tyler Higbee out, Rob Havenstein out, Deontay Dayton out, Daryl Henderson out. They're all on the COVID-19 list. But it may very well come down to quarterback, Ramona.
Yep.
And I think if you go to most NFL fans, well, I'll just ask you, if I give you a choice, would you rather have Kyler Murray or would you rather have Matthew Stafford tonight?
Kyler Murray.
Greg, how about you?
Kyler Murray, especially this year.
I would answer it the same way. I think they're the same passer, but Kyler Murray adds the element of his feet. And he can run. Like, I don't even think it's close. But the other day, Dan Orlovsky, and full disclosure here, Dan was Matt Stafford's backup in Detroit. So he knows Stafford really well. And he said, Stephen A. Smith had him on First Take, and he asked Orlovsky, if I give you a choice between Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford, who would you take? And for Orlovsky, it wasn't even close. Here's what he said.
But I want the guy that's 13th. 13th. I'll say it again. 13th all-time in yards. Kyler Murray ain't that. I want the guy who's 12th all-time in touchdowns, Matthew Stafford. I want the dude that's 4th right now in fourth quarter comebacks. 8th all-time. All-time in the history of the NFL. Kyler Murray's awesome. He's going to be a superstar for a long time. And he's having a nice season. Matthew Stafford's having a better season. He's having a better season. Matthew Stafford, you just said, is second in the league behind the guy that you want to see second Super Bowl with your list that stinks when it comes to touchdowns.
Stinks. Being emotional.
Give me Matthew Stafford.
Ramona, are we underrating Stafford? Because to me, he's been good, but I don't think he's been Kyler Murray. What do you think?
I think we are right. We're in L.A., man. Right. And so like that's, you know, I mean, 13th in yards. All right. I mean, he's had a good career, but he hasn't won in the playoffs. He hasn't done it on the big stage. We don't have any, like, can you point to a Matthew Stafford game that was big time with a, for all, you know, when everyone was watching, I guess just the Thanksgiving games. Right.
But, well, I would think Greg Tampa would probably be the one where everybody said, oh,
yeah,
he's really good.
But that's about it.
This game tonight is you get very few chances to shake any knock on your reputation. If Stafford was to deliver a win tonight in Arizona against Kyler Murray without Higbee, without his right tackle, without Darrell Henderson as lead running back, and without Jalen Ramsey, I think he could rewrite his L.A. story. I think that it's that important that Stafford shows up tonight.
Especially with how he's played the last month. I mean,
well, like if he does what he did in San Francisco, the Rams are dead.
Yeah.
You know, he threw the interception on the first play, then he threw a pick six. I mean, it just it wasn't a pick six, but he basically handed them. Jorge, what did you, they picked it off and returned it to like the 8, right? And then the Niners went right in. If Stafford does that tonight, the Rams have no shot. But, you know, I was talking about it earlier. We have McVay on the show all the time. And these guys both have like young, bright offensive coaches who were star quarterbacks in college. And they know where to throw the ball and what to do. And so Kingsbury, you know, when he was at Texas Tech, his teams were averaging like 600 yards of total offense. When McVay came to coach the Rams, he was in Jared Goff's ear the whole time. But just because you were a great quarterback in college doesn't mean you can make your quarterback make the right throw. And the reason I would take Kyler Murray is even though Matthew Stafford has a cannon, Kyler Murray, when the play breaks down, can bail you out. And don't you think when the play breaks down is when Matthew Stafford gets into trouble? Mm-hmm. He tries to make these like hero throws, and the turnovers are just, they kill the Rams, just kill them. So tonight he's got to dial in. They have no chance if he makes those turnovers tonight. And I think because we're debating this, because the Rams have a chance to win the division if they win this game, it's the biggest game of Matthew Stafford's Ram career and arguably the biggest game of his career, period. Don't you think?
I mean, until the next one, right? But I think right. This whole year for him is – this is the part where when you play in a market like Detroit on a team that didn't do anything for your whole career, those are empty calorie stats. I mean, they didn't result in winning.
Right,
so,
they didn't mean anything. Right.
Yeah. So now is this whole year is really a referendum on who you are as a quarterback, who you are, what's your legacy in this league. I mean, there's plenty of really good quarterbacks that never won anything or that were on bad teams their whole time, but they're not really remembered, you know?
And I mean, to your point, like I keep making the point that like Cliff Kingsbury was a quarterback at Texas Tech. You know, Zach Taylor was a quarterback. Brandon Staley was a quarterback. Sean McVay was a quarterback. All these guys did it in games that didn't mean what tonight means.
Yeah.
The what separates great players from really good players is can you deliver when the stage is the brightest? Tonight's Monday Night Football. It's the only game. The Rams division is on the line. Stafford balls out tonight. It changes everything about the way we talk about him and the way we cover him in LA. If he doesn't, it goes the other way.
Yeah, and I think that's the truth for any great player or any player who wants to be seen as a sort of leading man on one of the teams here in LA. Like when LeBron got here, remember his first season when he wasn't very good and he got hurt and the Lakers were, you know, and the enduring image of LeBron was him walking into Staples Center with the wine, okay, that year. And I think, you know, there was it was a rough year for him because there was this sense of, you know, I think he passed Kobe that year and he's playing for a new franchise and he was going to start breaking all the records. And people in LA were like, oh, yeah, okay, but all that was in Cleveland or Miami. Like, you haven't done anything here.
Well, think about it. What, you know, Patrick Ewing, Hall of Fame.
Yep.
The knock on him never won the title. Mm-hmm. You know, it follows it follows you everywhere. Tonight's a chance for Matthew Stafford to show off on national TV, and let's see if he delivers it. All right, coming up next, we'll get Bergman in here. He's got jump ball. He'll ask us a bunch of stuff. Still to come in our final hour. We got Lie of the Day. We got Game of Games. We got 12 Days of Christmas is going to happen at some point. We don't know when. We never know when. But we're going to be giving away something. Greg, do we know that it's tickets?
Yes, it is. It is tickets. It's okay. Actually called 12 Days of Tickets. So
nice.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, that would mean tickets.
I told you Christmas, but it's tickets. It was my fault.
So that's coming up. All of it next on 710 ESPN.